I'm excited to kick off, launch our new series on the family, 7 weeks long, and we're going to start in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, so you should be grabbing your copy of God's Word. Turn to the first New Testament book, Matthew, chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 24, 25, 26, and 27. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24. This excites me because the passage I'm reading today in my Bible, I don't know if you have a red letter. How many have a red letter edition? And so if you're new, you might not know what the red letter is. So if you know what red letter is, why don't you shout it out? What is it? The words of Jesus. So these are Jesus's words here. And so how many know that the Bible is really important? So, but if Jesus himself says some things, this is like mega important. Muy importante. Not bad, huh? For a white guy. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. You ready? You ready? You ready? Nine people are ready. Are you ready? Okay. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Here we go. Here we go. I'm excited. Therefore, if everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a, what kind of man? A wise man who built his house on the rock. Let me just stop and make a comment. Can't you ever like read the whole thing and then I have to stop. Okay. So it's like a wise man who built his house. Now, he's not talking about like a physical home, like an apartment, a comp. It's talking about whoever builds his life or his family. So that's the concept here is family. Whoever hears these words, puts them into practice, like a wise man who built his house, his family, his marriage, his singleness on the rock, who is a picture of Jesus. Verse 25, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat up against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had at its foundation on the, it's an important word, the rock. But if everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the... So there's the contrast there, rock and sand. Say those words with me. Okay, rock and sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, It fell with a... What kind of... It's like a great, great... Okay? So how many of you have watched a little bit of the weather the last couple of weeks and you notice there's this hurricane? It happened about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, a little bit longer than 2 weeks ago. Check out that's the eye of the storm there coming off of like the Caribbean there. And if you know anything about Hurricane Matthew, you're going to know that Hurricane Matthew took 1,045 lives. One of the things we're excited about right now being in Haiti is about 1,000 people that lost their life in the country of Haiti. And so praise God that our church is on the ground right now helping in that country. So 1,000 people in Haiti lost their life, a total of 1,045 people. But not only did it go through the Caribbean and like the Haiti and Cuba, it made its way to the southeast part of the United States, North Carolina and Florida, both of them declared states of emergency. Now listen to this. The devastation in the United States alone, not including the other countries that were hit, just in the United States alone, the damage was roughly about 5.2 billion people. I said it with a B, not with an M. 5.2 billion people. Over a million people were left without electricity. And they say, one report that I read said this. How many have ever been to the Rose Bowl? Rose Bowl? One report said this. There was so much rain for the 12 days that it was able to fill the Rose Bowl 163,000 times. So that's how much rain came down over the course of those 12 days. It was a huge hurricane. In fact, they're still cleaning up the debris and the devastation today. So many, many homes in Haiti lost their roofs. One church was totally demolished. Bridges came collapsing down. And so it reeked this big, huge, massive hurricane that killed many people and just destroyed billions of dollars worth of property. It's a major storm. I want to talk about a different storm. It didn't happen 12 days ago. It happened about 6,000 years ago. And it began with a family, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. And how many know that for the last 6,000 years ago, this hurricane, it's been picking up force. And how many know that it's wreaked havoc on the United States of America and on the family of people living in the United States of America? Let me just kind of throw out a couple statistics. Most people that study stats in America tell us that roughly about 52% of marriages, and it Christian or non-Christian, it doesn't matter. About 52% of marriages that begin in the United States will falter, will fail. 52%. 79% of those people that will remarry a second time, 54% of those marriages will fail a second time. 20 to 25% of all American families have admitted to abusing their kids. Can you imagine that? 20 to 25% of American families. 35% of all American families experience some form of domestic violence. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, 5 times the national average. 90% of all runaway kids or homeless kids are from fatherless homes, 32 times the average. 4 million adults have admitted to using a lethal weapon on someone else in the family. 4 million. That's why I confiscated all Tammy's pepper spray. No more pepper spray now. And just kidding, that was a joke here. So four million people have used lethal weapons. 20% of all police officers who die in the line of duty die because they show up at a house, and what happens is that there's a family dispute going on. And so 20% of all officers who die do so when they go to a house and there's a family dispute. And roughly today in America, about 23 teenagers will commit suicide. The University of Rhode Island did a study recently, and they said outside of riots and wars, the American home is the most dangerous place to live. Listen, we have the elections coming up, and you should study all of both sides of the fence, and you should check out all the propositions. But let me just say, really, the problem is not necessarily at the White House. The problem is not the White House. The problem is our houses. And it does no good to focus on fixing all the problems in the White House if we're not going to address the problems in our own house. That's why Joshua would tell us in the third service, he would say in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, is for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter what the Andersons are going to do, or the Smiths are going to do, or the Williams are going to do, or the Rodriguez is going to do. It doesn't matter if every church in our family turned their back on God. I can tell you, the Abraham family, Steve and Tammy and Riley and Brenna, we are going to stand up and serve the Lord regardless of who around us does or doesn't. So as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen? So as we talk about families over the next 7 weeks, please listen carefully about my definition of family. I'm not just talking about the idealistic family. In other words, I'm not just talking about a husband and a wife that has 2 or 3 kids and the dog Fido in the backyard. When I define the word family, I'm talking about a single mom that's raising 2 kids on her own. I mean, that's a family. I'm talking about a single father. I'm talking about a grandmother in our church. You thought your parenting duties were over, something happened with your son or your daughter, and now you have had to step in and raise your grandkids. I'm talking to you. How many know a family is also 2 brothers or 2 sisters that are renting an apartment together? That's a family. And here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want you to think that if you're a single person, I'm not talking to you. Because here's what I've discovered. Before you get married as a single person, you need to get healthy. Otherwise, you're going to take your chaos and your mess into your relationship with him or her. So I'm talking about everyone. How many know the family unit is everyone? But listen, I'm just going to come out super strong this morning. Is it okay if I do that? I'm just going to strong. Here it comes. So when I talk about family, but I'm talking about a biblical, godly family. Ready? I'm talking about a husband and a wife. I'm not talking about 2 husbands. And I'm not talking about 2 wives. Okay, how many know that God designed the family to look a certain way? And listen, if you're struggling with same-sex attraction, you're welcome here. We love you. Remember last week I said it's okay to not be okay? It's true. So it's okay. But listen, we don't want you to stay there. We want you to get healthy and whole and delivered and set free. And I'm also not talking about you living with your boyfriend or you living with your girlfriend. So if you're shacking up, listen, that's not God's heart for you. Okay? So we're so quick to bang on a homosexual relationship when we've been living with our girlfriend for 3 or 4 years. It's okay to not be okay, but listen, once you discover that there's a standard, you guys rise up to the standard. In other words, I don't take the standard of God's word and lower it to my problem. I take my problem up to God's standard and God's word. How many of you think God wrote a book? And I don't have the privilege of going editing the Bill of Rights or the Constitution or changing the words of the Pledge of Allegiance, right? I didn't write that. And check it out. Regardless of my opinion, God wrote a book, and he really doesn't care what you think or what I think. Is it okay? So here it is. When I say biblical, I'm talking about holy matrimony. That's it. That's God's done. A husband and a wife, that's a holy thing. Well, I just got to be honest, Pastor Steve. I think you're getting a little old, a little old-fashioned. You're 51 years old now, and I want to meet with the elders this week, and I just want to suggest to our elders that maybe Pastor Steve's a little insensitive to the culture, and I don't know, he's just a little too tough on some issues, and I want to make a motion that all the elders replace Pastor Steve as senior pastor. He's just like a little too. But here's the problem, though. I was never voted in here. So guess what? Guess what? You can't vote me out. So I'm stuck here for forever. Some of you are clapping and some of you are like, ugh. In fact, already you've been writing a little note to somebody and Pat, I can't stand that guy. He's so opinionated. But I'm here, if you like me, that's awesome, but that's really not my goal. I'm not trying to win friends and influence people. I'm not trying you to get on my side. I'm just trying to be faithful to the text, be faithful to preach the Word of God, and let the chips fall where they may. Somehow the culture is going to continue to compromise. God's Word never compromises. Amen? So we're not going to negotiate. We're not going to take an opinion poll, a survey. What do you think? Or what do I think about family? God already wrote a book. Check it out. If you're living with someone you're not married to, or you're struggling with same-sex attraction, we want to help you. Call the church, go to recovery on Friday night, meet with the pastor, get some counseling. We'll give you some resources because we want to set you up to succeed, not to fail. And so God wrote a book, and how many know that God's ways are our best? So I told you I was coming out strong. So you're stuck with me, not only for the next half hour, but you're stuck with me for life. So here we go, two main points in your notes. You should be taking out your pen right now. Point number one here, point number one is this. If I want to have a great family, if I want to have a godly family, if I want to do it God's way, here it is. Build your family on a strong foundation. Strong foundation. How many ever used to live out in the desert? Desert, Palm Springs, or Victorville, something, right? And so if you ever live out there, how many know what, you, like the whole landscaping of your yard probably looks different than it does here? You're going to have lots of rocks and cactus and stuff, right? Because it's hot out there. And how many know a lot of the houses here in Ventura County, no AC. You live in Palm Springs? You better have some AC, sucker. It's hot out there, right? So thinking about where you might build a home or where you might live, it's going to dictate what kind of house. If you live up in the mountains, 7,000 feet or 8,000 feet in Colorado and it snows a lot, I mean, you're not going to have a flat roof. So all the snow is going to pile up on that roof and it's going to be angled so the snow, right? True. And if you're going to build a godly family, you got to understand what the standard is. So here it is. So Pastor Steve, a foundation, so when you talk about like a strong foundation, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Is that what you're asking? Oh, okay, so go ahead and ask me. Oh, okay. So here's what I mean by that. A great verse is Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 and 2. Here's what it says. God's bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, heading to the promised land, and here's kind of the first thing that he says. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Notice this. You and your children and your grandchildren. Here's the strong foundation. Ready? Here it is. You must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Here's the foundation. Ready? The foundation for a godly, single, married couple, family. The foundation is fear. See, if I were to ask you what's the foundation, most of you would say, well, it's love. No. He gathered his people and said, hey, before we go and take the promised land, here's what I want. You, your kids, and your grandkids. The first thing you need to do is, he didn't say, the first thing we're going to do, guys, we're going to go to Disneyland together. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a family night. We're going to play Candyland and do some popcorn and s'more. No, he didn't say that. He said, here, before we go into the promised land, you must fear the Lord your God. That's the foundation. Why is the foundation fear and not love? Here's the reason. Because fear leads to obedience. Fear does, not necessarily love. Now listen to me. I believe he is a loving God. How many are grateful for the love of God? We sang about that just a little bit ago. Aren't you grateful for his love and his compassion and his care? And he's just an awesome, loving God. But listen, there's that side of God, love, for sure. But then there's this side over here that we seldom talk about in the church. Fear. And I've said this before, if God walked into the room right now, you wouldn't be like, what's up, dog? You wouldn't be saying anything about he's your homie. You'd be flat down, face down, prostrate before the living God. Because the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So the foundation is fear, because fear leads you and I to obedience. How many have ever been on a horse before? And got bucked. I got bucked. One time I got bucked in New Mexico. I was at my friend's wedding. We're just going, it's awesome fun. And he kind of stopped, poof, threw me over this fence. I was like, woo. Another time I was like six or seven. I kind of got behind this little pony. Just boom. And I was like, whoa, whoa. So every time I come up to a horse now, I got a healthy, because they're like this. And they kind of look out the behind. I'm just like, kind of freaks me out. Like, I'm kind of scared, right? And they're fun to ride, but I have a healthy fear. And yeah, for sure, he's a loving God, but I also know this, that if I decided to embezzle thousands of dollars here at the church, I have to deal with the fear side of God. There's going to be a consequence. And if I decide to beat my kids or cheat on my wife, listen, I understand there's consequences to that. For sure, a loving God. But the first thing he says, hey, we're not going to Disneyland. The first thing, you need to fear the Lord your God. You got to build your home, your marriage, your singleness on a firm foundation. So Pastor Steve, when you say fear, what can you break that down? So I've been thinking about this. What does it mean to fear God? Here's, it means to fear the Lord. How do you like that definition? I worked on it all week long. To fear God means to fear God. Here's what it means. God is like, I'm God, you're not. Do what I say or there's going to be a problem. That's what it means to fear God. So I'm God, this is my word, do what it says or there's going to be a major, major problem. Look at this verse, Psalm 127, verse 1. This is a great verse. Unless the Lord builds the, again, not talking about a physical home, a family, a marriage. Unless God builds the house, the builders labor in, look at that word, vain. What does it mean? Trifling effort or work that produces nothing. Nothing. Okay. Doesn't matter what I do. Well, I got some awesome idea. No, no. God's like, hey, unless I'm part of the equation, it doesn't matter what you try to do or not do. Hey, all of your effort is going to result in vanity. So God said, hey, you want an awesome family? By the way, let me ask the question. How many of you want a great family? Come on, get your hand up. What's the alternate? I want my family to... No, no. I want an awesome family. Listen, the prerequisite is you get God at the very center of that family. Is that pretty narrow for God to say, unless I build the family, we labor in vain? That's so narrow, God. Who do you think you are? Why? Because we live in a culture of a lot of options. You know, in 1975, there were about a little less than 9,000 items in any grocery store. 9,000 back in 1975. There's over 47,000 different items. It's like a whole culture of choices. Do you know there are 11 different kinds of Cheerios? Why do you need a... There are 25 different... what's that shampoo company? Head and Shoulders? 25 different... Why do we need 25 of just one brand? And so we live in a culture, it's like, hey, do it your way, you're up. There are a lot of different options, man. You ever bought a new car? Well, do you want this? There's a thousand, right? But we serve a God. He's like, no, my way is the right way and the only way. Unless I build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Well, I think I got some great ideas, and I think I'm going to kind of buck God on the system a little bit. Here's what happened when you fight against God, 2 Chronicles 13:12. Do not fight against the Lord, the God of your fathers, for you will not what? Succeed. Number two is this. Not only do I need to build on the right foundation being fear. Number two, listen, I got to stick to the blueprints. You should be writing down. Why are you looking at me? Write it down. Stick to the blueprints regardless of the cost. I got to stick to the blueprints regardless of the cost. This building was being built 5 years ago. One of the cool things is I would come in pretty much every day I was here, and there wasn't any chairs in there. There wasn't any carpet in here. There's a lot of different pieces to the puzzle. There was some guys in the church that heating and air conditioning, and they had a set of blueprints. And then we had some electricians, and they had their own set of blueprints. And then we had the construction side of it, and they had their... In fact, so in the middle of this building, before there was any carpet or chairs or anything that you see now, there was a table with a bunch of blueprints on it. And so they would kind of meet in the morning, they'd go over the blueprints, and they'd go off to work. And then you would see it like, how did that go? And they run back over to the table and I'm just faking like I know what these say, but they would kind of look and if they were electrical, they've got electrical plans and how does that fit in? And HV, and they were constantly referring back to the blueprints. And check it out. If you're doing a construction project and you bag the blueprints, a couple things happen. Number one, the cost goes through the roof. You're just like, I'll just do what I want. Okay? But that's going to affect this, that's going to affect that, and that before you know it, it's not going to be $1 million or five, it's going to be twice as much, right? And the other thing is if you bail on the blueprints, the project starts going sideways. Because you're up on the rafters going, I think this is where this goes together. No, get off of the ladder, come down and check the blueprints. Check it out. God has given you and I some blueprints. Okay? So as a single person, what does God's word say about being a single? Then I finally get married one day. So what does God's word say about marriage? Who cares what the culture thinks? And they're always kind of compromising, right? And so what does God's word say about marriage? What does God's word say about parenting? How will I raise my kids? And if you bag the blueprints, listen, your family, your marriage, your kids are going to go sideways. I got some ideas. No. You have to stick to the blueprints. And the blueprints are God's word. I'm preaching a lot better than you're responding, okay? So under that, sticking to the blueprints, I want you to write down these four things. As I read the text over and over, I noticed a couple things. First, I discovered this. There are two kinds of families in the text. There's two kinds of families in the text. I don't know where you live. If you came to our neighborhood, basically most of the houses, and it's just a track. I mean, there's four different tracks within our track. But if you pulled into our house, pretty much on the outside, every house is going to kind of look about the same. There's some variance in size, but roughly, you know, that the square footage is basically the same. Most of the paint colors are basically in the same kind of pattern. And there's always one or two weird people that do like a bright blue or pink or yellow. They need prayer. I don't know what they're thinking. But on the outside, you kind of look at like everybody's house kind of looks the same. But you get inside of those homes. In fact, in our street, off to our right, if you're standing on our driveway, is a Caucasian family. And then next to them is an Asian family. On my left is a Hispanic family. Next to them is a Filipino family. Next to them is a crazy family. And then we just got, like, across the street here, we got a family from India, a couple doors up from them, African-American family. So we just got the whole United Nations on my street. I mean, you know, inside of those homes, although on the outside, most of the houses look the same. There's a lot like sports families. So their value is sports or academics. In an Indian home, it smells different than a Caucasian home. All kinds of spices and curry and stuff. You're like, woo! And the stuff going on in the Filipino home is different than what they're cooking in the Latino. You know what I'm talking about? But listen, according to the Bible, there's not hundreds of different kinds of homes. There's only two. There's the house built upon the rock, who's the picture of Jesus Christ, and there's a house built upon the sand. So if you were to drive by the house and the family built upon sand, you'd be like, dude, Bob had such an awesome house. Bob would be like, yeah, man, we threw up the walls in like 2 days. We painted it. I mean, the whole thing from start to finish, 3 days. And he's out on the front porch like sucking down iced tea, and you're like, awesome job, Bob. And we just kind of threw the thing together. But if you were to go by the guy that built his house upon rock, he wouldn't even get to the foundation for a couple days. You're like, Charlie, what are you doing, dude? Why are you doing all the digging and drilling? You can't live in a foundation. But I've never been down like a downtown city. Before they build a big skyscraper, they go deep for days and weeks and months before they go up. So you drive by the house, and you're like, dude, what are you doing, Charlie? Hurry up, man. Check out your neighbor, Bob. He's enjoying the iced tea. Get your act together. And Bob would say, no, we're focusing on the foundation. Because in order to go up, we gotta drill down. So listen, according to the Bible, there's not many, many kinds of families. There's just two. Rock and sand. Let me just say this. Can I say this? Yes, you can, Pastor Steve. Okay, I'm going to say it. Here is what I've discovered. Everybody look right into my eyes. I've discovered this. The kind of person you are at home is the kind of person you really are. Because you can come to church and praise the Lord, hallelujah! You can dance around, you can all, right? But listen, the kind of person you are at home is really the kind of person you are. So you can come in here and shuck and jive and fake everybody out. But are you the same person at home that you are here on Sunday morning? So convicting, isn't it? Because how many, you can be at your house, shut up, you shut up, I can't see my head, shut up, shut up. Ring. Oh, hi, Pastor Ray. Uh-huh. Yeah, oh, God bless you. Hold on one sec. Shut up. Hand me my beer. You get it yourself against him. Oh, what was that? Oh, it's just the dog in the background. Oh, how you doing? Yeah, we're doing great. God bless you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're all, the whole family will be at the Bible study tomorrow night. Yeah. Hold on just one second again. The dog. Shut up. It's Pastor Ray. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Lord bless you too. Dios le bendiga. Okay. Gloria. Oh, yeah. God bless you. Okay. Love you too. Bye. Do you know we have people in this service right now? You cuss at each other when you're at house. You yell at each other. Scream at each other. You scream at your parents. You scream at the kids. You throw things. This is going to be a very simple thing to write down, but it's very profound. Grab your pen and write this down. It's powerful, simple. But right here it is. Stop doing things that aren't working. Stop doing things that aren't working. Listen, the sign of a learning disability is when you keep doing the things over and over that aren't working. Ladies, I want to talk to you for a second. Stop nagging. I know you think that on 713th time it's going to get through to him. We are very slow. It will not work. And all the men said, so don't even go there. Stop nagging. Stop doing something that's not working. Some of you yell and scream. That, listen, it doesn't work. Stop doing something that's not working. Some of you don't yell and scream. You play the silent treatment. I'm just not going to talk to them. A day goes by, turns into 3 days, turns into 7 days, 2 weeks. Listen, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. As much as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. Stop doing things that aren't working. If you're a man and you get like really irate and you yell and scream and you throw stuff across the house, first of all, you need to get saved. Second of all, if we find out about that, we're sending some big burly guys in our church to come address your attitude. You need to stop it. It doesn't work. And you kind of powering up on your wife and threatening her that doesn't work. Stop doing what's not working. And all the ladies said, amen, Pastor Steve. Okay? So two kinds of families. Second thing, write this down. Two kinds of builders. Wise and foolish. Jesus says the guy who built a house on the sand is foolish. Actually, the word is blockhead. It refers to a mental collapse. The guy building on sand, he's like, well, this is the safest way to do it. This is the fastest route to do it. This is the easiest way to do it. Okay? So this week in my office, I wrote down 5 foolish family statements. Are you ready? You're not going to be able to write these down. You might want to take a picture. And if you take a picture, I'll even pose in the background for you, okay? So here we go. Top 5 foolish family statements. Here it is. Number 1, people would say this. We're giving our kids all the freedom they want. We'll let them choose their own friends, their own TV shows, and their own music. As parents, we just stay out of their business. All the God's people said, Yeah. Such a really, really bad plan. Just gonna let them, they're 13, they can make, well, that's really a bad plan, okay? Secondly, as a married couple, we keep everything separate. Separate bank accounts, separate goals, and we often take separate vacation. Oh, that's really funny because the Bible says, and the two shall become one. I know, but we got married and he was like $7,000 in debt. You married the sucker, that's what you get, man. So now your money is together, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not. Number 3, church attendance is an option in our home. It's foolish. If it fits into our weekend activities, we will attend. If not, we won't. Horrible philosophy. Number 4, dinner time, everyone is on their own. We never eat together, and when we do, everybody is on their phones or we're watching TV. Listen, I know we're all really busy, but there's got to be at least one night in the week where the kids aren't allowed to be on their phones, the TV's not on, the radio isn't on, and you actually sit, this is going to be a, It's going to freak you out. You're going to sit around the table. What are we going to do after we eat? You are going to, it starts with a T. Yes. You're going to talk to one another. Hey, how was your day? What went well today? What, right? Just you talk. I know it's like a unbelievably, incredibly new concept, but I think the enemy just gets us so busy. And when we are together, it's just like we're on their phone, checking this, just like put it all away. Come on, dads, take a lead in the home. Turn it all off and say, hey, tonight we're having family dinner together. The teenagers will freak out, but it's okay. Okay? And then finally, last thing is this. My kids' spiritual development is not a high priority. It's definitely not as important as their education, their music, or their sports career. Worst decision you can make is a parent. Right there. Five top foolish family statements. So sand, the second kind of builder, the Bible says a wise builder. So they understand faster is not better. They got to be patient on the foundation. And so what are some things that are shouted from that house? Ready? Top five wise family statements. Here we go. Number five, my family will always be more important than my goals, my career, my sport, my friends, etc. Great, great focus. Number four, I'll allow my kids to suffer the consequence of their actions so that they will learn to not make the same mistake again. My focus is being their parent, not their best friend. Hey, if they like you, that's just an added bonus. But that's not your goal. So if they take the car out on a joyride at 14 and crash the car, don't bail them out. They got to pay for that thing. And if they fail a test because they didn't study, don't march down to the principal's office or call the teacher. That was too hot. No, no. They didn't study. They fail. Big fat F. Stop bailing your kids out, okay? Let them suffer the consequences. We'll talk more about that in the parenting weekend. I'm sure there's going to be like 9 people here after you heard that, okay? Number three, divorce is not an option in our home. We're not going to talk about it, consider it, joke about it ever, 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 ever. Yeah, but if you're married to who I'm married, never talk about it. Ever. All of God's people said. Amen. Never, ever. Number four, I refuse to sleep around with somebody that until I get married. I will not cave in or compromise to the culture, even if they think it's old-fashioned. Hey, that God would give us some singles at New Life with that heart right there. But everybody else is, doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. So me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And then finally, number one, top five wise family statements. The most important thing for my family is our relationship with Jesus. We'll put him first in every area of our lives, even if it's costly. We will attend church faithfully, serve consistently, give generously, and love Pastor Steve unconditionally. Is that not what that says? Oh, love others. So here's the thing. The thing is, if I walked up and down the aisles, I personally, as a pastor, I don't know who's building their house on the rock and who's building on sand. I don't know. So how do you know? Bullet point number three. You will know when the storm comes. So two kinds of family, two kinds of builders, many, many storms. Write that down. Many storms. So what happens? Notice in verse 25 and verse 27. Verse 25 says the rain, actually the word rain there in the Greek, it's actually talking about not just, it should say rains. When the rains come down and the streams rose and the winds. Notice not singular, but what? Plural. Many rains, many winds, many storms. Hey, hey, coming your way. I wish I could pray that it wouldn't happen, but I'm telling you, in your marriage. I know you just got back from your honeymoon like 2 days ago and she's incredible. But I'm telling you, storms are coming to your marriage. And anybody who's been married longer than a year, you should be saying amen right now. Amen. And I know you just had your first kid and you just got back from the hospital. And they're just like, oh, he's so precious. Yes, then they grow up. You're going to have storms. How many are going to have storms? You know as a parent you're going to have some storms. Come on. But I want you to see in the text, not just when there's a rainy day. No, when the rains, plural. When the storms, plural. When the winds. So a lot of different kind of storms are coming. So what's the difference? You build your house upon sand. When the storms come, and they're coming, your house will come crumbling down. So two kinds of families, two kinds of builders, many, many storms headed your way. Well, that's not fair, man. I thought if I serve Jesus, he's going to take all that away. No, no, no. Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. He says, Jesus causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. But just, how many of you ever get a little bothered sometimes that non-Christians, like awesome things are happening, you're just like, dude, I'm trying to serve God over here. And well, see, God's such a gracious God that sometimes just the sun of his grace and mercy fall upon people that are even evil and ungodly. But notice it goes on to say, but he also sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, the verse is saying, good things happen to non-Christians and Christians, bad things happen to Christians and non-Christians. Just, God's a gracious God. But listen, here's the key, ready? Storms are coming, I promise that they're coming. Here, if you will just not quit, you will win. So you talk to anybody in our church that's been married 50 years. I guarantee you, they're not going to say, every morning I wake up, I'm just like, oh, they're so incredible. No, no. There's many days you're just like, oh, I'm going to kill that guy. She drives me crazy, right? But what's the difference in people that have been married 50, 60 years and other people that just like, they crash and burn after a couple months? Because one person or one couple says, you know what? Hell or high water, we're staying together regardless. And again, I could talk about, maybe I'll talk about this next week. There are some biblical justifications for divorce, adultery, abandonment, and abuse. But outside of that, man, till death do us part. I mean, Tammy could tell you, like, for her, it's just been easy to be married to me these last 27 years. The other way around, it's been more difficult. But by, no, just kidding. It's just the opposite, right? So good. You could talk to her, good days, bad days, struggles, highs, low. I mean, just, right? So what makes a great marriage? Perseverance and endurance. I've discovered this. Like most college graduates, honestly, aren't the smartest pencils in the box. They're just people that say, I'm plowing through this. Like I wasn't a great student, but I'm just like, I'm gonna do what I have to do. And I don't even know how it happened, but I graduated from college. It was like, woohoo, just kind of pressed through. And as a parent, I mean, so many times you want to give up on your kids, but don't give up on them. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Here's faith, ready? It's calling those things that aren't as though they are. You look at your marriage and you're like, hate that guy. But why don't you speak faith into the situation? Your kids are rebellious. Speak faith into your children. Okay? So two kinds of families, two kinds of builders. Many, many storms are coming your way. If you build your house on the rock, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be able to weather the storm. Build it on sand, it will come crashing down. Then finally, there are two kinds of results. When the storms come, sand devastates the home. Total collapse. What does that look like? Constant fighting, teenage rebellion, credit cards over the limit, mental and emotional breakdown, sporadic church attendance, minimal family time, passive parents, adultery, divorce, remarriage, divorce, remarriage, divorce. If your house is built upon the rock, you'll be able to weather the storms. What does that look like? Working out the problems together, mutual submission. Family has a great walk with God as they make church a priority. Kids are well-disciplined, love their parents and feel loved by them. Kids are secure and confident and own their own relationship with God. Kids love their siblings. Is that possible? Yes, it's possible. Kids love their siblings and respect their parents. Parents can't wait for their kids to get home. Wouldn't that be awesome? Man, I can't wait to get home and see my parents. And the parents are like, man, I can't wait for Junior to get home. Right? No, that's awesome, right? That's what the house built upon the rock looks like. So let me just say this as we're wrapping this up. You can put your Bibles aside. Anybody get anything out of the message? Okay. So let me just say this as our worship team is going to come up in just a sec. We're going to sing one last song. Here's my goal, whether you really believe me or not. The goal of our church, we started the church 19 years ago. Here was the goal. Please listen, look right at me. The goal of our church is we just want to build really healthy and strong people. That's the goal. We're not necessarily like, in other words, we're not trying to 100,000 people. It doesn't matter. Okay. God gave us a vision to reach certain, but we're just going after solid people. Listen to me. I really felt like early on God said, if you'll just focus on the depth of the people that come to New Life, just focus on the depth, making them the strongest individuals they can come. The depth, Steve, the depth. God says, I will take care of the breadth. Now, whether you just focus on building strong people, God will take care of the numbers. How do you have a great family? If I had a piece of chalk or some paint, I would paint a circle around me. If you want to be a better partner, you first of all have to be a better person. I can't change Tammy. She can't change me. Tracy can't change Jabbar. Jabbar, like, it's impossible. As much as you scream and yell, come on, let God change their heart. Okay? I just got to be the best person. Yeah, but if you know anything about Mike, he's a big... Yeah, but just speak faith into it. How many of God can change somebody? You just focus on you. You be the strongest person you can be. Now, when you're a great person, you'll have a better partnership. And check it out, a better partnership creates better parents. But it begins with you and I focusing on you and I. So here's what I want to do. I want to invite you, if you're here today single, married, single parent, single mother, single father, grandparent raising multiple kids, you're going to say, Steve, I want my life, I want my marriage, I want my family to be built upon the rock and not the sand. I want to invite you to go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm already standing, but I would stand right now anyhow. I think everybody in the church should probably be standing. Single, married, single parent, doesn't matter what the situation is. I want my life and my family to be built upon the rock. Jesus Christ, go ahead and stand to your feet. And I want to pray for us as a congregation. After I'm done praying, we're going to sing a song. Everybody's going to sing the song together. We're not going to move and leave until the song's over. At the end of the song, we're going to have people available up here to pray specifically for family issues, conflict in families, marital problems in families, wayward teenagers in families. After we sing the song, we're going to have extended time of prayer. You can come forward. You might want to bring your whole family up front. So let me pray for us first of all. Would you go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes? Lord, thank you for your word this morning. God, as we stand to our feet today, God, we're making a declaration. We want to build our house, our lives, our families, our marriages upon the rock, Christ Jesus. So God, right now, would you just give us a boldness, a courage? And even right now, I just would speak against the enemy that would say, you know what, your situation's never going to change. It's happened this long. It's been many years. He hasn't changed. She hasn't changed. The kids haven't changed. My parents will never. But God, we forget about what happened yesterday, a week ago, a month ago. We're just focused on right now as we stand to our feet. Give us boldness and courage and compassion and wisdom as we are taking a stance for you. Bring healing to our families, we pray in Jesus' name. God, I pray for this third service. Bring healing to the families of those that are standing here this morning for your glory. We're desperate for you. And we declare, Lord God, Psalm 127, verse 1 is true. Unless you build our homes, we are laboring in vain. So we invite you into the center of our lives, into the center of our families. And we give you all the thanks and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,